This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
There was hardly 15, 20 brothers who came for Salatul Fajr. And yet when our children go astray and they start smoking weed and they start, you know, sporting strange hairstyles and they start wearing studs on their ears and you wonder if they're male or female, and they start wearing tight and skimpy pants that shows their aura, and you wonder what happened, what when, how did it come to this? It is because the parents, they had no time for the masajid. If that was a coincidence, I also prayed in this masjid Salatul Dhuhr, but I did not see. We prayed Salatul Dhuhr in this masjid less than one saf. It is a Sunday. Perhaps someone can explain and say, Monday to Friday, we're busy at work. What happened to Saturday and Sunday? Why don't you bring your children to the masajid? If you don't have time for the masajid, if you don't have time to bring your children to the masajid, then a time will come when you will cry, not tears, but you will cry tears of blood. That you would wish you would have done something before, but it is too late. Situation is now out of control. That is why, to conclude this muhadara, and the theme which was chosen, which is flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the scholars gave tafsir of this verse, they say, one of the meanings of al-firaru ila Allah, to flee to Allah, an tafirra min al-kufr ila al-iman. It is to flee from kufr to iman. This is one meaning. And then they say, an tafirra min al-nar ila al-jannah, is that you should flee from hellfire to paradise. And the third meaning they say, it is to flee, an tafirra min al-ma'siyah ila al-ta'ah, to flee from disobedience to the obedience of Allah. All these three, it makes up the concept that is known as فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. And so I conclude with this nasiha. I say to myself, I say to my brothers and sisters, and everybody that came for this event, let us flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that Allah can fix our lives, and so that we can live as Muslims, then let us fulfill the requirements of this verse, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله. May Allah bless the Sheikh and bless us to become those who listen the words and follow the best of it. الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put on his mizan of hasana in the day of judgment and save him from the hellfire and assist him as well as us all to flee unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ameen. And now I am so happy, so glad, so thrilled to welcome my brother, Sheikh Saeed Raghi. Please welcome.
Inna alhamdulillah. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد إخوتي في الله، اعلموا أن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. ما شاء الله. I see the brothers turning the lights, more lights inshallah. Because I don't think the camera is going to help, because black person in the dark is not a good, pretty, it's not a pretty scene. Nothing will show except teeth in that movie, in that DVD. How many Somalis do we have here? The immigration is waiting outside, mashallah. So I saw a white lady, she must be from the immigration office. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. It's good to be back. The Shaykh Jazahullah Khairi did a wonderful job. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Under the same theme, I'm going to be talking about, since the Shaykh Jazahullah Khairi motivated us and our iman inshallah is to that level, I want to talk about the steps that we can take that would allow us to reach the level that every time something happens, we flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will quote a hadith fi Musnad Ahmad wa Sahih al-Albani من حديث عقبة بن عامر رضي الله عنه. Now, I want you to listen to this hadith, because unless you have a mental, not mental that you're sick, not like that. But unless you keep off imagining and you have that mental picture, you won't be able to benefit from the hadith. Allah أعلم. عقبة, he said, رضي الله عنه, he said, I came to the message, I saw the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and qala fabtada'tu. When I saw the messenger of Allah, I approached him first and I grabbed qala fa akhadtu bi yadi, and I took him by the hand. Now imagine this, messenger of Allah was accessible to all the sahaba. So this sahabi, he comes, he sees the messenger of Allah, he takes him by the hand. قَالَ فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا نَجَاتُ الْمُسْلِمِ. O messenger of Allah, how can a Muslim be successful? How can a Muslim be successful? فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ. And follow this hadith. Now you gotta count with me, because there are three different sections of the hadith, and we're gonna take one at a time. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم يا عقبة امسك عليك لسانك وليسعك بيتك وابكي على خطيئتك. Three things. That's the first time that they met. قال يا عقبة. He said, يا عقبة, take control of your tongue. Be aware of what your tongue is going to say. You want to be safe, you want to be successful, you want to flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no hiccups, with no issues, with no, you know, walls that you run to. He said, amsik alayk, take control of your tongue, which is very, very serious. You know why, ikhwati fillah? Because this thing is the thing that may lead us to Jahannam if we not be careful with it. Listen to the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حديث بخاري يقول من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر. حديث متفق عليه. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. وفي سنن الترمذي بسند صحيح صحيح الألباني قال أو ليسكت. He said, whosoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the day of resurrection, let him say good or be silent. In another hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من حديث عبد الله بن سفيان الثقفي رضي الله عنه والحديث في السنن الترمذي وابن ماجه وصححه الألباني قال يا رسول الله tell me something that I should ask no one else other than yourself tell me something قال to the Sahabi he said قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم He said, say, I believe in Allah and stay on the right path. Then he said, is there anything else? Then he said, the messenger of Allah took his tongue out and he said, take care of this. Take care of this. You know, whatever we say, whatever we do, If we don't control this thing, it will lead us to Jahannam wal-iyadu billah. Because in Sahih al-Bukhari also, was Sunan al-Tirmidhi, wa Ibn Majah, wa Abi Dawood, wa Sahih al-Albani, qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, a person may say a kalima, la yulqi laha ba'd, that he's not concerned about, min ridwanillah, from thing that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person may be in Jannah. And vice versa. The person may say one thing, and he doesn't care about it, from the things that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it may lead him to Jahannam. So everything that we do, ya ikhwati fillah, we have to be careful. I'll tell you a story. Okay, brothers and sisters, Somali brothers and sisters, don't get upset. All right, I'm going to make fun of some of the Somali people. It's a true story. Once, this is a story that I will tell you. Do we have anyone under 18 years old from Somali kids? Raise your hands. Under 18. Under 18. Okay, not too many. This story happened to me, and I'm talking about the things that we say and how evil that thing could be and how dangerous that is. Once, I was coming out of a lecture, and as you know, brothers and sisters, I always, almost always, I have a white thobe and a white kufi. Other than the winter time, I don't wear color thobes. So I'm a little, you know, I have my outfit, I have my gear. I'm coming from a lecture. And I met two Somali sisters. One of them, she was so skinny, like Miss Wack, and so skinny. Tiny, skinny. And she's wearing one of those basketball jerseys. I remember Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade number 3. And she's with attitude. I mean, she has attitude. And the other one, Allahu A'lam, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. I'm not going to say anything about the sister, but I think the maja'a that's happening in Somalia is because of that sister. I'm just guessing. So I'm coming out. You know, Lebanese brothers, I'm coming for you. Don't relax. I'm coming for you. So the sister, mashallah, you know, I'm coming out of the conference. I just gave my lecture. You know, alhamdulillah, I just want to go home. And these two sisters, they with attitude. You know, how they move their necks. I don't know Allah, how they move. You know, it's like this. So she said, hey, yo. And I was like, me? She said, yeah, yo, with the dress. She called my thobe a dress. Now she crossed the line. But I'm the imam, I have to be cool, right? I have to keep my cool, I have to keep my temper. So I didn't say anything. you know, would Samantha say, yes, sister, how can I help you? She said, is MJ inside? I said, who's MJ? Michael Jordan? She's wearing Miami Heat. She said, no. I said, Michael Jackson? She said, look at this idiot. No. As soon as she said this, the banana hit the roof. The Samaritan just came back. I couldn't take it. So I said, sister, talk to the hand. And I walked away. And she was saying, F this and F that. And in my mind, I'm saying, subhanAllah. Whatever she said, the angels are writing. The angels are recording. If she only knew how much sin that she, that's just a gain, she would never say, she would never said any of these things. So that's why we have to be careful. In authentic hadith, the Messenger of Allah was talking to Mu'adh bin Jabal. And he told him about Islam, he told him about, you know, the deeds that we do, you know, for all the deeds. And then he said, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكْ عَلَى مِلَاكِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّ. She said, he said, shall I give you, tell you, the thing that controls all this? He talked about sadaqah, salah, jihad, all the deeds. He said, shall I not tell you something that, you know, controls all this, more important than all of these things? He said, yes. He said, take control of this. And then Mu'adh said, Ya Rasulullah, are we going to be responsible of the things that we say? He said, oh Mu'adh, your mother may lose you. What else would throw people into Jahannam other than what the tongue had collected? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيمٌ. He said, he would not say anything except there are two angels that reports everything. Everything, regardless of the things that we say, you know, if we mean it or not. Even when we're reciting Quran, if it's not for the sake of Allah, then it's against us. One of the shuyukh, his name is Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Qahtani, told me this story. It was a funny story. Do you have any Syrian brothers? Syrians? Okay, half Syrian. No? Okay. Alhamdulillah. They don't have to say anything about what I'm going to say. He said, you know, in Syria, the Sheikh said, in Syria, they have Qurra at the gates of the cemeteries. Qari, Quran. So what they would do is people would come and they would say, okay, we will pay you Quran. We pay you, I'm sorry, not Quran. We pay you money. Go read Quran on our deceased in the grave. So these people, when they came, they saw this Qari, young man, standing there. And they said, How much charges for you to recite Quran on our deceased? He said, 30 liras. They say, Ashara, we'll give you 10. The Sheikh said, 10 is nothing. They said, no, 10, take it or leave it. And it seems that the Qari, he needed a little, you know, extra cash. So he said, let's go. So they took the Qari, and they said, this is the grave. And then the Qari said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوهُ ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْهَا سَوْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَسْلُكُمْ. They said, what are you doing? All about ayat of adab. Ayat of adab. خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ, and take him and snatch him. Chaining with, and they said, well, what are you doing? And then the Sheikh said, for 10 lirat, you want me to recite, Inna al-muttaqina fi jannati wa nahar? It's never. For 10, now even that, if the person, if his intention is not right, Even that, you know, is written against the person. So whatever we do, we have to say, do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be careful. Be careful. I know I'm running out of time and I gotta conclude soon. The last story that I have is a story, this is again, a story. A lot of young people at the universities, they say they're giving da'wah. Am I right? They give da'wah. You know, non-Muslims, you know, you have thousands and thousands of non-Muslims and you want to tell them about Islam and you want to give them da'wah so they can fear Allah and so on. And alhamdulillah, a lot of our young men, they like giving da'wah to girls. MashaAllah. Da'wah, good da'wah, right? Good business. But they choose good-looking girls. Good-looking girls, not any girls, good-looking girls. And you say, "Ya akhi, why don't you give a da'wah to that one?" He's like, no. You know, she's ugly, she's not 100 pounds, mashallah. And I said, "Why don't you give a da'wah to that?" He said, "No, her heart is like a rock." But this one, her heart is so soft, mashallah. Because she's gorgeous, she's beautiful. So one of those girls, she came to my office. She said, "I want to become a Muslimah." I said, "Great. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah, welcome to Islam." And I'm giving her material. She said, "Yeah, I know a lot about Islam. I mean, I read about a lot about Islam. And I'll take this material too." And I always know, most of the girls who come to the masjid by themselves, most of them, someone else already gave them down. So I said, "Sister, do you know any Muslims?" She said, Yeah, my boyfriend's a Muslim, mashallah. Say, Allahu Akbar, takbir. Harrarna al-Quds, mashallah. I said, "Okay. Where is he from?" She said, somewhere in LA, I think near LA. I said, "Wow." I said, "White, black?" She said, "He's black. And he's Muslim." Yeah. "Why don't you bring him over?" My intention is to tell this brother, "Listen, the sister, she's going to accept Islam. She's going to be a good Muslim. She's, you know, you got to be a role model. You know, you've been giving da'wah, you've been talking, and the angels are recording all the hasanat for you. Now you gotta give, you know, be a role model. You can't be saying, you know, I'm a Muslim, and a Muslim, and then you know, have a girlfriend, which is haram." So she brought the boy. As soon as he came to my office, I knew something is wrong with the picture. So I said, "Brother, where are you from?" He said, "I'm from Los Angeles." I said, "What?" He said, "I'm from Los Angeles." I said, "Okay." So, time for Salat al-Asr came. So I said, "Sister, mashallah, you became a Muslim, and this guy, you know, the guy, Allahu A'lam, I'm not saying anything. He doesn't even pray." So I said, "Sister, go pray and we will pray." I needed time, 10 minutes to talk to the guy. I said, "What are you, Somali Madhu Ektai?" I said, "Yo, you look like Somali. Are you from Somalia?" I said, "What glass Arnold Bukame Hagi?" Last Arnold Bukame here. He said, "I came from Las Arnold, a village in Somalia." He made her think that he came from somewhere close to L.A. because Las Anod is L.A. Right? He came from Las Anod. I said, "Qatalakallah." So he, you know, the worst, it reminded me of, because a lot of people do this, it reminded me of Egyptian brother. who called me. We used to have line of fatwa line. That's a 800 something fatwa. And this Egyptian brother, he calls me. I was in state that time. And he says, was Wednesday, I still remember. He says, sir, sheikh. I said, yes. He said, ana azni bi husn niyya. Kifiha akr? He said, I commit zina with good intention. Do I have ajr in that? Do I get it? I said, khurij baytak. I said, how do you commit zina with good intention? I couldn't analyze it. You committed zina and you want Allah to reward you for the zina? Explain it to me. He said, look how smart this guy was. He said, I go to the university, I see a sister, you know, who's ready for da'wah. So I give her da'wah. I said, do you tell about yourself? He said, no. I just become her girlfriend, her boyfriend. And then I said, why don't you move in with me? When she moves in with me, and she lives with me, I tell her about Islam. When she becomes Islam, I said, sister, zina is haram, now move out. And then another sister comes. He's been recycling women for the purpose of da'wah. But even that da'wah, the angels are writing evil deeds. لذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, أمسك عليك لسانك. He said, take control of your tongue. Take control of your tongue. But it has also, he mentioned, if you want to say something, if you want to speak, then you got to do ذكر of Allah. كما في البخاري وغيره, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يزال اللسان رطب ذكر الله. He said, let your tongue be moist, be wet with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first nasiha that Uqba got from the Messenger of Allah. The second nasiha he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال وليسعك بيتك. وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُ. He said, let your house contain you. Let your house be enough for you. A lot of people, they like to go outside. Outside of their house. What time is it? Yeah, sure. He said, let your house be spacious enough for you. Which means, you don't go out unnecessarily. In Sahih al-Bukhari, was Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Mibi Sanad al-Sahih wa Sahih al-Albani, يَقُولُ النَّبِيُّ سُئِلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَقِيلَ أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَفْضَلُ. He asked the Messenger of Allah, who are the best of all mankind? فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, a man, a person, who gives himself, his soul, his wealth for the sake of Allah. وَرَجُلٌ, and a man who lives in a superb area, يَكُفُّ النَّاسَ مِنْ شَرٍ. He protects people from his evil. He protects his people. He protects the people from his evil. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these are the best of people, person who does this. The third point that I will conclude, I know we took more than what we can handle tonight. The third point, قَالَ وَبْكِ عَلَى خَطِيئَتِكَ. He said, you must weep, you must cry for your sin. Yani when we commit sin, we must cry because we know the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cry a lot for other things. If your husband is mad at you, sisters, they will cry. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. If you get fired from your job, you will cry. A lot of brothers will cry for money. If you lose something in business, you may cry. You know, but when it comes to The sin that we commit, we hardly cry. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَبْكِ عَلَى خَطِيئَتِكَ وَبْكِ عَلَى خَطِيئَتِكَ طيب. I have to conclude here inshallah because, but actually I want to just tell you the second part of the hadith and leave the third for other times because it will help you. يقول عقبة قال ثم لقيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then I met the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال فابتدرني. The messenger of Allah, he's the one who initiated the contact. فأخذ بيدي. He took by my hand. He took me by the hand. فقال ألا. He said, shall I not teach you the three surah, the best three surah that was ever revealed? قال فقلت بلى فداك أبي وأمي يا رسول الله قال قل هو الله أحد قل أعوذ برب الفلق قل أعوذ برب الناس and then he said to him لا تنساهن do not forget them at all. I will conclude here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for listening.
It came to my mind when Sheikh Sa'id jazahullahu khayran, he said that if you gave 1,000, Allah will give you on a minimum of 10,000. Now listen to this real life story. In 2005, I traveled from Nairobi, Kenya, back home in Africa. I went all the way to the city of Minneapolis in the state of Minnesota. I went on a da'wah trip. While I was in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, a brother, he communicates with me from back home in Nairobi, Kenya. This young brother, he was about to get married. And he called to me and said that he wanted my support. I said, no problem, brother. I will support you with whatever I can. And Allah was a witness that I had no more than $400 in my pocket. And that was all that I had. So I went to the Hawala, which is the money transfer system, and I sent this brother $400. A few days later, my uncle, the brother to my mother, he hears that I am here from Africa, I am there from Africa, and he is a taxi driver in New York City. So he comes driving all the way from New York to Minneapolis. It took him 18 hours of driving. And when he came and he saw me, he was so happy. He took out an envelope from his pocket and he gave it to me. He said, here uncle, this is a gift for you. I took it from him. When I went back home and I opened the envelope, I counted inside this envelope $4,000. Wallahi, for every dollar that I gave to that brother, Allah gave me 10. Is this the only incident? No. 2 Ramadans ago, I stood up in a masjid. It was in Ramadan. I say to the brothers who pray to the, in the masjid and the sisters, I say, brothers, the norm is they request you to give $1 a day for other days besides Ramadan. But hardly anyone is ever willing to spend $1 on the house of Allah. I was in a masjid in Columbus, Ohio. The masjid, it has on a Jum'ah 1,500 people praying Jum'ah at any given time. And guess how much they collect? They only collect on a good Jum'ah between $300 and $400. How many Jum'ahs are there in a month? 4. So the best collection is 400. Per month, how much is that? 1,600. Tell me in the name of Allah, can 1,600 maintain a masjid for a whole month? 1,500 people praying in the house of Allah. That means it is an average of a person giving If only they would give half a dollar, then they would have raised 750. That means every person on average, they give a quarter to Allah. Do they give a quarter to Tim Hortons? Go to the Timmy's and see if you can buy anything with a quarter. Go to them and see if you can buy your coffee for just a dollar. How much does a coffee cost? How much is a coffee at Tim Hortons? How much is it? $1? $1.60? And if you belong to a higher class and you go to Starbucks, how much does it cost? Almost $4 at Starbucks. And some people have class too. They don't go to Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons is for ordinary people. So they go to Starbucks and they spend an average of $4 up to $10 a day just drinking coffee. And when they come to the masjid, they say, "Ya Allah, we will not even give you a single dollar." أعوذ بالله من البخل. We seek Allah's refuge from stinginess. And so let me remind you this. And so I told the brothers in the masjid and sisters in Ramadan that instead of giving a dollar in Ramadan, let us strive to give $2 a day in Ramadan. How much is the total for the whole 30 days of Ramadan? $60. So I say, brothers and sisters, instead of us reminding you every day, bring your $2. One day you bring, 10 days you don't bring. So let us make a promise that tomorrow we will all bring $60 to the masjid. And alhamdulillah, we made a promise that the next day, as we pray Taraweeh, we will bring $60 to the masjid. And so that the brothers and sisters, they don't say, "This shuyukh who ask us to give, they just make us give, but they never give anything. They're so stingy." The Somali community, they say, you will only hear a sheikh saying, "Give." You will never hear a sheikh saying, "Take." And so, that night I decided to become the first person to give. I say, brothers and sisters, I come from a place called Africa. We don't get to see dollars. And the day when we see dollars, it is Eid for us. We celebrate on that day. And so I took $60 that I had in my pocket and I was the first person to give it. Next day, from that city of Rochester in Minnesota, I went back to Minneapolis. One brother, a very close brother to me, his name is Hassan. He came to me and gave me a small envelope and said, "Abdul Ghani, this is a gift for you. Please buy something for your children." And I took the gift. Because Rasulullah, he never refused a gift from anyone. So I took this gift. When I went back to my place, I opened this envelope. There was $500. It is not yet over. Same day, another brother comes to me and he says, "Abdul Ghani, I insist that you take this $100. I said, "Subhanallah." And how much was the total, brothers and sisters? $600. How much did I give for the sake of Allah the previous day? I gave $60, and the next day Allah gave me $600. And wallahi, whenever I give, I do not have the slightest doubt in my heart that if I give for the sake of Allah, Allah will give me far more than I give. Perhaps the sadaqah that you give, it will make Allah protect your children. You are in need of Allah's protection for your children. Perhaps the sadaqah you give, it will make sakarat al-maut easy. When you're about to die and the angel of death comes to take away your life, perhaps the sadaqah that you gave today, it will make your exit passage from this life easy. Listen to this amazing real life story. When Iraq invaded Kuwait, and the people of Kuwait were running away from their country, fleeing with their lives, a Kuwaiti family was heading and they were seeking to exit through the Saudi-Kuwaiti border. But they did not know the direction to the border. And so as they were driving across the desert, they came across a group of Iraqi soldiers. And they asked for directions. Show us the way to the border, the Saudi border. And they showed them the direction. As soon as they drive off, an old woman, a grandmother within the family, she says, let us go back and give them some food. And the rest of the family said, no, how can we give them food? They just invaded our country and they're making us leave our country. She said, no. These are poor people who have been forced against their will to come and invade us. Let us go back and give them some food, sadaqah. And so reluctantly the driver, he turned back the car and they went and they gave them some food. Now guess what happened? One of the Iraqi soldiers said to them, the direction we gave you is the wrong direction. In front of you, the whole journey has been filled with mines. You would not have gone very far. You would have been blown into pieces. But since you came back and you showed us your clean hearts, we will show you that we too are human beings. We will direct you to the right direction, which will take you to the Saudi border. And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna masani' al-ma'roof taqi masari' al-soo." When you do something good for the sake of Allah, it will keep evil away from you. Perhaps the sadaqah you give tonight, something bad is about to happen to you or your family, and this sadaqah becomes a shield for you. We're asking you to give for the sake of Allah's house. Allah says in the Quran, "Ha antum ha'ula tud'awun litunfiqu fi sabilillah, faminkum man yabkhal wa man yabkhal yabkhal 'an man? Faman yabkhal yabkhal 'an nafsihi." Allah says, here you are. You have been invited to give for the sake of Allah. And some people are stingy. They hold back. And Allah says, whosoever who is stingy, he is only holding back from himself. Today I need you to choose between two promises. The promise of Allah and the promise of shaitan. Which one do you want, brothers and sisters? I need to hear. The promise of Allah. Then listen to the promise of Allah. The promise of Allah is, يَبْنَ آدَمْ أَنْفِقْ أُنْفِقْ عَلَيْكَ. The hadith is right there at the door. O son of Adam, spend and I will spend on you. That is the promise of Allah. Now listen to the promise of shaitan. The promise of shaitan, الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر. Shaitan, he promises you poverty. He says, don't give. Why would you give? To the extent that when people are collecting sadaqah for the masjid, and a brother comes with a box, and this brother, he looks inside his pocket, and he wants to put something in the box, and he looks inside his pocket, and he sees 50, and he says, Abu Khamsi, la wallah, never. He looks again, 20. Abu Ishreen, abadan, it will never happen, 20. He looks inside, 10. La, 10 is too much. Eventually, he takes out $1 and he puts it in the box like as if he's taking out his heart and putting it in the box. Wallahi, ya ikhwat al-Iman, this is so painful. I come from a country that is 70% Christians. Let me tell you this real life story. In my local area, there was a skirmish. There was an altercation between Muslims and Christians. And so the Christians burnt down a masjid. And the Muslims, in retaliation, they went and they burnt down a church. And so the Christians, they gathered together and they collected money, and within 1 year they built a magnificent church worth $1 million. The masjid that was burnt down, They built a temporary structure made of wood. And guess what? The temporary masjid is still the same almost 10 years later. La ilaha illallah. There is no religion on the face of this earth that has promised so much rewards for sadaqah more than Islam. So I go back to you, my brothers and sisters. Who will raise his hand for the sake of Allah and say that I pledge $1,000 for this masjid? What is $1,000 that you give for the sake of Allah? Raise your hand high so that we can see you. Brothers and sisters, what is $1,000? Today, if you need to buy new furniture for your house, you will gladly spend more than $1,000. But this is your money. Don't think that you're giving this money, it will go to waste. This money is going to a special account. And Allah will keep it in store for you. One brother, he gave this example. He said, sadaqah, listen to this. Sadaqah is like a box that has been covered. And every day you put something in this big box. Every day you put something. Until one day, they decide to open this box. And when the box has been opened, behold, the box is filled up to the top. Sadaqah is the same. You give here, you give there, you give here, you give to that masjid, you give to that cause. And then Yawmul Qiyamah, when you are given your book of deeds and you open it, and you see your sadaqah, you wish that you would have given more.
الألباني قال يا رسول الله tell me something that I should ask no one else other than yourself. Tell me something. قال to the Sahabi, he said قل آمنت بالله ثم استقيم. He said say I believe in Allah and stay on the right path. Then he said, is there anything else? Then he said, the messenger of Allah took his tongue out and he said, take care of this. Take care of this. You know, whatever we say, whatever we do, if we don't control this thing, it will lead us to Jahannam wal-iyadu billah. Because in Sahih al-Bukhari also, was Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, wa Abi Dawood, wa Sahih al-Albani, qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, a person may say a kalima, la yulqi laha bal, that he's not concerned about, min ridwanillah, from thing that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person may be in Jannah. And vice versa. The person may say one thing, and he doesn't care about it, from the things that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it may lead him to Jahannam. So everything that we do, ya ikhwati fillah, we have to be careful. I'll tell you a story. Okay, brothers and sisters, Somali brothers and sisters, don't get upset. I'm going to make fun of some of the Somali people. It's a true story. Once, this is a story that I will tell you. Do we have anyone under 18 years old from Somali kids? Raise your hands. Under 18. Under 18. Okay, not too many. This story happened to me. I'm talking about the things that we say, and how evil that thing could be, and how dangerous that is. Once, I was coming out of a lecture, and as you know, brothers and sisters, I always, almost always, I have a white thobe and a white kufi. Other than the winter time, I don't wear color thobes. So I'm a little, you know, I have my outfit, I have my gear, and I'm coming from a lecture. And I met two Somali sisters. One of them, she was so skinny, like miswak, and so skinny. Tiny, tiny, skinny. And she's wearing one of those basketball jerseys. I remember Miami Heat. Dwayne Wade number 3. And she's with attitude. I mean, she has attitude. And the other one, Allahu A'lam, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. I'm not going to say anything about the sister, but I think the maja'a that's happening in Somalia is because of that sister. I'm just guessing. So I'm coming out. You know, Lebanese brothers, I'm coming for you. Don't relax. I'm coming for you. So the sister, mashallah, you know, I'm coming out of the conference. I just gave my lecture. You know, alhamdulillah, I just want to go home. And these two sisters, they with attitude. You know they, how they move their necks. I don't know, Allah, how they move. You know, it's like this. So she said, hey, yo. And I was like, me? She said, yeah, yeah, yo, yo, with the dress. She called my thobe a dress. Now she crossed the line. But I'm the imam. I have to be cool, right? I have to keep my cool. I have to keep my, you know, temper. So I didn't say anything. You know, what this man said, yes, sister, how can I help you? She said, is MJ inside? I said, who's MJ? Michael Jordan? She's wearing Miami Heat. She said, no. I said, Michael Jackson? She said, look at this idiot. No. As soon as she said this, the banana hit the roof. The Somali thing just came back. I couldn't take it. So I said, sister, talk to the hand. And I walked away. And she was saying, F this and F that. And in my mind, I'm saying, subhanAllah. Whatever she said, the angels are writing. The angels are recording. If she only knew how much sin that she, that's just a gain, she would never say, she would never said any of these things. So that's why we have to be careful. In authentic hadith, the Messenger of Allah was talking to Mu'adh bin Jabal. And he told him about Islam, he told him about, you know, the deeds that we do, you know, for all the deeds. And then he said, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكْ عَلَى مِلَاكِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّ. She said, he said, shall not give you, tell you, the thing that controls all this. He talked about sadaqah, salah, jihad, all the deeds. He said, shall not tell you something that, you know, controls all this, more important than all of these things. He said, yes. He said, take control of this. And then Mu'adh said, Ya Rasulullah, are we going to be responsible of the things that we say? He said, oh Mu'adh, your mother may lose you. What else would throw people into Jahannam other than what the term had collected? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيمٌ. He said, he would not say anything except there are two angels that reports everything. Everything, regardless of the things that we say, you know, if we mean it or not. Even when we're reciting Quran, if it's not for the sake of Allah, then it's against us. One of the shiukh, his name is Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Qahtani, told me this story. It was a funny story. Do you have any Syrian brothers? Syrians? Okay, half Syrian. No? Okay. Alhamdulillah. They don't have to say anything about what I'm going to say. He said, you know, in Syria, the Sheikh said, in Syria, they have Qurra at the gates of the cemeteries. Qari, Quran. So what they would do is people would come and they would say, okay, we will pay you Quran. We pay you, I'm sorry, not Quran. We pay you money. Go read Quran on our deceased in the grave. So these people, when they came, they saw this qari, young man, standing there, and they said, how much charges for you to recite Quran on our deceased? He said, 30 liras. They say, Asha, we'll give you 10. They said, the sheikh said, 10 is nothing. They said, no, 10, take it or leave it. And it seems that the qari, he needed a little, extra cash. So he said, let's go. So they took the qari, and they said, this is the grave. And then the qari said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, خذوه فغلوه ثم الجحيم صلوه ثم في سلسلة ذرعها سبعون ذراعا فاسلكوه. They said, whoa, what are you doing? All about ayat of adab. Ayat of adab. خذوه فغلوه, and take him and snatch him. Chain him with... And they said, whoa, what are you doing? And then the sheikh said, فعشر الليرات, you want me to resign? إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتِ وَنَهَا. It's never. Now even that, if the person, if his intention is not right, even that, is written against the person. So whatever we do, we have to say, do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be careful. Be careful. I know I'm running out of time and I got to conclude soon. The last story that I have is a story, this is again, a story. A lot of young people at the universities, they say they giving da'wah. Am I right? They give da'wah, non-Muslims, you have thousands and thousands of non-Muslims and you want to tell them about Islam and you want to give them da'wah so they can fear Allah and so on. And alhamdulillah, a lot of our young men, they like giving da'wah to girls. MashaAllah, da'wah, good da'wah, right? Good business. But they choose good-looking girls. Good-looking girls, not any girls, good-looking girls. And he said, Akhi, why don't you give a da'wah to that one? He's like, no. She's ugly, she's 900 pounds, mashallah. And I said, why don't you give a da'wah to that? He said, no, her heart is like a rock. But this one, her heart is so soft, mashallah. Because she's gorgeous, she's beautiful. So one of those girls, she came to my office. She said, I want to become a Muslima. I said, great. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah, welcome to Islam. And I'm giving her material. She said, yeah, I know a lot about Islam. I read about a lot about Islam. And I'll take this material too. And I always know, most of the girls who come to the masjid by themselves, most of them, someone else already gave them down. So I said, sister, do you know any Muslim? She said, yeah, my boyfriend's a Muslim, mashallah. Say, Allahu Akbar, takbir. Harrabna al-Quds, mashallah. I said, okay. Where is he from? She said, somewhere in LA, I think near LA. I said, wow. I said, white, black. She said, he's black. And he's Muslim. Yeah. Why don't you bring him over? My intention is to tell this brother, listen, the sister, she's going to accept Islam. She's going to be a good Muslim. She's, you got to be a role model. You've been giving da'wah, you've been talking, and the angels are recording all the hasanat for you. Now you gotta give, be a role model. You can't be saying, I'm a Muslim, and a Muslim, and then you have a girlfriend, which is haram. So she brought the boy. As soon as he came to my office, I knew something is wrong with the picture. So I said, brother, where are you from? He said, I'm from Los Angeles. I said, what? He said, I'm from Los Angeles. I said, okay. So, time for Salat al-Asr came. So I said, sister, mashallah, you became a Muslim, and this guy, you know, the guy, Allahu A'lam, I'm not saying anything. He doesn't even pray. So I said, sister, go pray, and we will pray. I needed time, 10 minutes to talk to the guy. I said, what are you? Somali madu ektai. I said, yo, you look like Somali. Are you from Somalia? I said, what glass anod ma kime haqiqi? Las Anod ma kime. He said, I came from Las Anod, a village in Somalia. He made her think that he came from somewhere close to L.A. Because Las Anod is L.A. Right? He came from Las Anod. I said, قَاتَلَكَ اللَّهُ. So he, you know, the worst, it reminded me of, because a lot of people do this, it reminded me of Egyptian brother who called me. And we used to have line of fatwa line. That's an 800 something fatwa. And this Egyptian brother, he calls me. I was in state that time. And he says, was Wednesday, I still remember. He says, sir, sheikh. I said, yes. He said, أَنَا أَزْنِيَ بِهِ بِحُسْنِ نِيَّةِ كِفِيهَ أَقْرِ. He said, I commit zina with good intention. Do I have ajr in that? Do I get a... I said, how do you commit zina with good intention? I couldn't analyze it. You committed zina, and you want Allah to reward you for the zina? Explain it to me. He said, look how smart this guy was. He said, I go to the university, I see a sister, you know, who's ready for da'wah. So I give her da'wah. I said, do you tell about this? I said, no. I just become her girlfriend, her boyfriend. And then I said, why don't you move in with me? When she moves in with me and she lives with me, I tell her about Islam. When she becomes Islam, I said, sister, zina is haram, now move out. And then another sister comes. He's been recycling women for the purpose of da'wah. But even that da'wah, the angels are writing evil deeds. لذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, أمسك عليك لسانك. He said, take control of your tongue. Take control of your tongue. But it has also, he mentioned, if you want to say something, if you want to speak, then you got to do ذكر of Allah. كما في البخاري وغيره. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يزال اللسان رطب ذكر الله. He said, let your tongue be moist, be wet with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first nasiha that Uqbah got from the Messenger of Allah. The second nasiha he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال وليسعك بيتك. وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُكَ. He said, let your house contain you. Let your house be enough for you. A lot of people, they like to go outside of their house. What time is it? Yeah, sure. He said, let your house be spacious enough for you. Which means, you don't go out unnecessarily. In Sahih al-Bukhari, was Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Nabi Sanad al-Sahih wa Sahih al-Albani, يقول النبي سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقيل أي الناس أفضل. He asked the Messenger of Allah, who are the best of all mankind? فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, a man, a person who gives himself, his soul, his wealth for the sake of Allah. ورجل, and a man who lives in a suburb area, يكف الناس من شر. He protects people from his evil. He protects his people. He protects the people from his evil. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these are the best of people, person who does this. The third point that I will conclude, I know we took more than what we can handle tonight. The third point, قَالَ وَبْكِ عَلَى خَطِيئَتِكَ. He said, you must weep, you must cry for your sin. Yani when we commit sin, we must cry because we know the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cry a lot for other things. If your husband is mad at your sister, sisters, they will cry. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. If you get fired from your job, you will cry. A lot of brothers will cry for money. If you lose something in business, you may cry. You know, but when it comes to the sin that we commit, we hardly cry. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَبْكِ عَلَى خَطِيئَتِكَ وَبْكِ عَلَى خَطِيئَتِكَ. طيب, I have to conclude here inshallah because, but actually I want to just tell you the second part of the hadith and leave the third for other times because it will help you. يقول عقبة قال ثم لقيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then I met the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال فابتدرني. The messenger of Allah, he's the one who initiated the contact. فأخذ بيدي. He took by my hand. He took me by the hand. فقال ألا. He said, shall I not teach you the three surah, the best three surah that was ever revealed? قال فقلت بلى فداك أبي وأمي يا رسول الله. قال قل هو الله أحد. قل أعوذ برب الفلق. قل أعوذ برب الناس. And then he said to him, لا تنساهن. Do not forget them at all. I will conclude, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for listening.
It came to my mind when Sheikh Sa'id, jazahullahu khayran, he said that if you gave 1,000, Allah will give you on a minimum of 10,000. Now listen to this real life story. In 2005, I traveled from Nairobi, Kenya, back home in Africa. I went all the way to the city of Minneapolis in the state of Minnesota. I went on a da'wah trip. While I was in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, a brother, he communicates with me from back home in Nairobi, Kenya. This young brother, he was about to get married. And he called to me and said that he wanted my support. I said, no problem, brother. I will support you with whatever I can. And Allah was a witness that I had no more than $400 in my pocket. And that was all that I had. So I went to the Hawala, which is the money transfer system, and I sent this brother $400. A few days later, my uncle, the brother to my mother, he hears that I am here from Africa, I am there from Africa, and he is a taxi driver in New York City. So he comes driving all the way from New York to Minneapolis. It took him 18 hours of driving. And when he came and he saw me, he was so happy. He took out an envelope from his pocket and he gave it to me. He said, here, uncle, this is a gift for you. I took it from him. When I went back home and I opened the envelope, I counted inside this envelope $4,000. Wallahi, for every dollar that I gave to that brother, Allah gave me 10. Is this the only incident? No. Two Ramadans ago, I stood up in a masjid. It was in Ramadan. I say to the brothers who pray to the, in the masjid and the sisters, I say, brothers, the norm is they request you to give $1 a day for other days besides Ramadan. But hardly anyone is ever willing to spend $1 on the house of Allah. I was in a masjid in Columbus, Ohio. The masjid, it has on a Jum'ah 1,500 people praying Jum'ah at any given time. And guess how much they collect? They only collect on a good Jum'ah between $300 and $400. How many Jum'ahs are there in a month? Four. So the best collection is 400. Per month, how much is that? 1,600. Tell me in the name of Allah, can 1,600 maintain a masjid for a whole month? 1,500 people praying in the house of Allah. That means it is an average of a person giving. If only they would give half a dollar, then they would have raised 750. That means every person on average, they give a quarter to Allah. Did they give a quarter to Tim Hortons? Go to the Timmy's and see if you can buy anything with a quarter. Go to them and see if you can buy your coffee for just a dollar. How much does a coffee cost? How much is a coffee at Tim Hortons? How much is it? $1? $1.60? And if you belong to a higher class and you go to Starbucks, how much does it cost? Almost $4 at Starbucks. And some people have class too. They don't go to Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons is for ordinary people. So they go to Starbucks and they spend an average of $4 up to $10 a day just drinking coffee. And when they come to the masjid, they say, "Ya Allah, we will not even give you a single dollar." أعوذ بالله من البخل. We seek Allah's refuge from stinginess. And so let me remind you this. And so I told the brothers in the masjid and sisters in Ramadan that instead of giving $1 in Ramadan, let us strive to give $2 a day in Ramadan. How much is the total for the whole 30 days of Ramadan? $60. So I say, brothers and sisters, instead of us reminding you every day, bring your $2. One day you bring, 10 days you don't bring. So let us make a promise that tomorrow we will all bring $60 to the masjid. And alhamdulillah, we made a promise that the next day, as we pray Taraweeh, we will bring $60 to the masjid. And so that the brothers and sisters, they don't say, this shuyukh who ask us to give, they just make us give, but they never give anything. They're so stingy. The Somali community, they say, you will only hear a sheikh saying, give. You will never hear a sheikh saying, take. And so, that night I decided to become the first person to give. I say, brothers and sisters, I come from a place called Africa. We don't get to see dollars. And the day when we see dollars, it is Eid for us. We celebrate on that day. And so I took $60 that I had in my pocket and I was the first person to give it. Next day, from that city of Rochester in Minnesota, I went back to Minneapolis. One brother, a very close brother to me, his name is Hassan. He came to me and gave me a small envelope and said, Abdul Ghani, this is a gift for you. Please buy something for your children. And I took the gift. Because Rasulullah, he never refused a gift from anyone. So I took this gift. When I went back to my place, I opened this envelope. There was $500. It is not yet over. Same day, another brother comes to me And he says, Abdul Ghani, I insist that you take this $100. I said, Subhanallah. And how much was the total, brothers and sisters? $600. How much did I give for the sake of Allah the previous day? I gave $60, and the next day Allah gave me $600. And wallahi, whenever I give, I do not have the slightest doubt in my heart that if I give for the sake of Allah, Allah will give me far more than I give. Perhaps the sadaqah that you give, it will make Allah protect your children. You are in need of Allah's protection for your children. Perhaps the sadaqah you give, it will make sakarat al-maut easy. When you're about to die and the angel of death comes to take away your life, perhaps the sadaqah that you gave today, it will make your exit passage from this life easy. Listen to this amazing real life story. When Iraq invaded Kuwait, and the people of Kuwait were running away from their country, fleeing with their lives, a Kuwaiti family was heading, and they were seeking to exit through the Saudi-Kuwaiti border. But they did not know the direction to the border. And so as they were driving across the desert, they come across a group of Iraqi soldiers. And they ask for directions. Show us the way to the border, the Saudi border. And they show them the direction. As soon as they drive off, an old woman, a grandmother within the family, she says, let us go back and give them some food. And the rest of the family say, no, how can we give them food? They just invaded our country and they're making us leave our country. She said, no. These are poor people who have been forced against their will to come and invade us. Let us go back and give them some food, sadaqah. And so reluctantly the driver, he turned back the car and they went and they gave them some food. Now guess what happened? One of the Iraqi soldiers said to them, the direction we gave you is the wrong direction. In front of you, the whole journey has been filled with mines. You would not have gone very far. You would have been blown into pieces. But since you came back and you showed us your clean hearts, we will show you that we too are human beings. We will direct you to the right direction, which will take you to the Saudi border. And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna masani' al-ma'roof taqi masari' al-su." When you do something good for the sake of Allah, it will keep evil away from you. Perhaps the sadaqah you give tonight, something bad is about to happen to you or your family, and this sadaqah becomes a shield for you. We're asking you to give for the sake of Allah's house. Allah says in the Quran, "Ha antum ha'ula tud'auna litunfiqu fi sabilillah, faminkum man yabkhal wa man yabkhal yabkhal 'an man? Faman yabkhal yabkhal 'an nafsihi." Allah says, here you are. You have been invited to give for the sake of Allah. And some people are stingy. They hold back. And Allah says, whosoever who is stingy, he is only holding back from himself. Today I need you to choose between two promises. The promise of Allah and the promise of Shaytan. Which one do you want, brothers and sisters? I need to hear. The promise of Allah. Then listen to the promise of Allah. The promise of Allah is, يَبْنَ آدَمْ أَنْفِقْ أُنْفِقْ عَلَيْكَ. The hadith is right there at the door. O son of Adam, spend and I will spend on you. That is the promise of Allah. Now listen to the promise of Shaytan. The promise of Shaytan, الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر. Shaytan, he promises you poverty. He says, don't give. Why would you give? To the extent that when people are collecting sadaqah for the masjid, And a brother comes with a box. And this brother, he looks inside his pocket. And he wants to put something in the box. And he looks inside his pocket. And he sees 50. And he says, Abu Khamsi, la wallah, never. He looks again, 20. Abu Ishreen, abadan, it will never happen, 20. He looks inside, 10. La, 10 is too much. Eventually, he takes out a dollar and he puts it in a box like as if he's taking out his heart and putting it in the box. Wallahi, ya ikhwat al-Iman, this is so painful. I come from a country that is 70% Christians. Let me tell you this real life story. In my local area, there was a skirmish. There was an altercation between Muslims and Christians. And so the Christians burnt down a masjid. And the Muslims, in retaliation, they went and they burnt down a church. And so the Christians, they gathered together and they collected money. And within 1 year, they built a magnificent church worth $1 million. The masjid that was burnt down, they built a temporary structure made of wood. And guess what? The temporary masjid is still the same almost 10 years later. La ilaha illallah. There is no religion on the face of this earth that has promised so much rewards for sadaqah more than Islam. So I go back to you, my brothers and sisters. Who will raise his hand for the sake of Allah and say that I pledge $1,000 for this masjid? What is $1,000 that you give for the sake of Allah? Raise your hand high so that we can see you. Brothers and sisters, what is $1,000? Today, if you need to buy new furniture for your house, you will gladly spend more than $1,000. But this is your money. Don't think that you're giving this money, it will go to waste. This money is going to a special account. And Allah will keep it in store for you. One brother, he gave this example. He said, Sadaqah, listen to this. Sadaqah is like a box that has been covered. And every day you put something in this big box. Every day you put something. Until one day, they decide to open this box. And when the box has been opened, behold, the box is filled up to the top. Sadaqah is the same. You give here, you give there, you give here, you give to that masjid, you give to that cause. And then Yawmul Qiyamah, when you are given your book of deeds and you open it, and you see your sadaqah, you wish that you would have given more.